Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, go be about it. I'm making Chipotle. I'm calling y'all here. Hurry up. I'm so sorry. Might get nowhere near. Oh, God. I'm in the back, changing my outfit. We said break, we will send the house. I said wait, here I come.
The four
here I come.
Room.
Got a mouthful of Chipotle, no homo. What is going on, people? Welcome to the Off-Ramp Show for the people, by the people, everybody's the people. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, June 30th, last day of June. Time is flying by, June 30th, 2022. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, folks. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health. Hope you got good energy around you. Hope you got good people around you. Hope you got good kids around you. Hope you got good loved ones around you. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, where we discuss all types of topics. Serious topics, fun topics, love, romance, what? Oh, excuse me. Sorry. It's been a long day, y'all. I've been rushing. We discuss all types of topics, sports, love, romance, education, politics. Show where me and my folks get together and rap about the week's mathematics. See what's popping in your streets, my streets, all over. See how you feel about things, passionately, not passionately. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we argue. I don't think anybody's ever cried. I think DJ Dick is tired. Crushed it. Shed a tear once. Huh? Maybe we'll get her to cry today. So this is our 10-year anniversary. Happy anniversary, DJ C-Sign.
Happy anniversary.
We didn't do shit.
No, a lot of things.
She asked me for a new ring. I asked for a new wife, and we just got Chipotle. Well, how it goes. So if you want to call in, 929-477-3975, you can hit us on the Twitters, the Instas, the Fizzy Books. It's been about a month that I said that I was going to get us on on Twitch, and I still haven't done it yet. One of these days, Alice, one of these days. DJ C-Sign, you doing all right? Give you a proper introduction. I got my lovely wife of 10 years. How long have we been dating? 15 years?
Yeah.
15 years, yo. That's like a decade and a half, yo. That's crazy.
Good evening. Doing
all right. Good to have you. Good to have her. I got my homeman, my homeboy, my man. You can't call nobody Ace Boom Coon. That's racist, right?
I mean,
he just coughed in the mic. So welcome, MX Money. How you hold up, my brother?
I'm good, bro. How are you? How's everybody? Happy anniversary to y'all.
Thanks, man.
It sucks, but it's, you know. Glad people still in the fight.
Yeah. Still trying to fight the good fight, man. Trying to keep this union together. America's trying to keep this union together. What are you supposed to do for your 10-year anniversary? I'm pretty sure it's not get Chipotle.
I'm sure there's an old gift and a new gift and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there like a rule for these things?
Not really, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, we got some piercings together. We got a couple holes put in us. Excuse me.
Let's see. So for 10 years, you're supposed to buy a present of aluminum.
Aluminum?
Well, that's close enough.
Yeah.
We got
earrings. Oh, yeah. We got aluminum around our Chipotle bowls. Hey. We did it. We accomplished one.
What is aluminum supposed to be? Like, what gift is aluminum that you would give someone?
Get you a frying pan so you can cook more.
It says on the side I'm looking at, it says the decade-long anniversary gift is traditionally tin or aluminum, which symbolizes the strength and resilience of your marriage. The modern gift is diamond. So there's a traditional and modern. So the modern 10-year anniversary is diamond. So she was correct when she said she wanted a ring upgrade because that's typically, you know, a gift, you know, if you upgrade the engagement ring at your 10-year anniversary.
We going old school. I'm getting you this aluminum cookie sheet. We old school.
How about next year, y'all just playing on something steel, because that's the 11th year anniversary of steel. The modern choice is fashion jewelry. So you can get steel or some fashion jewelry. If you want to go traditional, it's steel. Modern, it's fashion jewelry.
You can start
thinking about it now.
Yeah, I probably will. The goal is to make it to 11. The goal is to make it to 11 and to be happy. Not just survive at 11, but still be somewhat happy. Yeah, 365 more days to go. We'll see what happens. Hey, we got a call from Jersey, but I don't recognize the number. Jersey, welcome to the off-ramp.
You're right. What up, man? It's me, Blur. What's going on, fam?
Oh, you got a new number?
No, this is the same number I call in on all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's showing up different.
There's your Google Voice number out, man. He didn't expose himself.
Nah. Do got a Google Voice number, but this ain't it. This is the number I call all the time. You know what's funny?
I looked at it wrong.
I actually just hit redial on my phone because I only made one other outgoing call since 2 weeks ago, since my last call into the show.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I just looked at the number on you, right. That is your normal number. For some reason, I looked at it weirdly and didn't recognize it. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. How you doing?
Oh, man, you know me. Blessed and highly favored, man. Walking on sunshine, living on a prayer.
I hear that. Hey, we got a lot to discuss tonight. My bad about last week, gentlemen. Sorry I had to cancel the show in such a quick fashion. It was just a long week for the Gunning household. Had to run out of town, take my kid to a track meet, staying in a hotel. I had a birthday party to go to, and, man, it was just we just had so much to do around the house. DJ C. Simon's kind of upset we didn't have the show. But I told her, yo, like, she had stuff to do. And, like, putting a house up for sale was a task. And I think she believes I made the right decision. Because by the time we got done doing all that stuff, we was exhausted. We was beat. So we got a lot to catch up on. It's been 2 weeks. Where do y'all want to start? DJ Cesarean, anything 2 weeks ago you want to start?
2 weeks ago? I can't remember 2 weeks ago.
You can't remember 2 weeks ago? That's why we have such a good marriage, because you just don't remember stuff. Blur, anything you want to start with 2 weeks ago, catch up on?
You know what? I didn't go far. I'm trying to remember from two weeks ago. I'm pretty sure I had something, but I'm drawing a blank. Shit.
Okay. M extra?
I did remember something. You know what's funny? I don't remember all the details of it now, but I don't know if y'all looked into it. Japan, they outlawed making insults to people online. It's going to be punishable by up to 1 year in prison. I thought that was the craziest / smartest thing I've ever read on the internet. I don't know what y'all think about it. If y'all saw it, if y'all heard it, y'all think that could work over here?
I mean, I'll jump in. I don't think that, because calling it an insult is subjective. I could say something. Look, again, shout out to my wife. We are celebrating 10 years. She says I insult her when I just think I'm giving great advice because I'm such a great advice giver. She could take that as a criticism. She could take things as an insult, whereas I just think it's constructive criticism. So to be able, it seems like most of these big governments are going towards authoritarianism.
That's the word.
So basically, the government is basically saying.
Authoritarianism.
Authoritarianism. Basically, if you say something to somebody and the government decides that it's enough talk, then they're just going to throw you in jail. And it seems like it's going that way in most of these big countries. Russia, America, Japan. It's kind of scary. DJ Shisan, what you think about being online on Twitter and hurling an insult at somebody and then being liable and going to jail for it?
Oh, is that for real?
In Japan.
I don't know. I guess. It sounds a little over the top, but I know that, I guess, in today's society where we have such issues of people, you know, doing this online and it can become very serious for people who are in certain positions in terms of people, you know, doing this and really, really it can, change someone's life or, you know, wreak havoc on someone's life. So I don't know how defining it is or how nuanced it is in terms of, you know, what you have to say or how many times or, you know, things like that. But, I mean, just in terms of people, you know, I mean, just look at people in positions. We'll bring it back to, you know, January 6th, these people that were part of the voter, you know, delegations and things and how they were harassed online and things like that. And nothing happened to these people where they're threatening people's lives, they're calling them out, they're talking about how these women need to be, you know, sexually, abused, rape, violence, all these violence. I feel like someone, you know, something needed to happen to these people legally, but it didn't.
Okay. MX? You got us on mute?
I think, honestly, Japan is dismantled. I think Japan is ahead of the curve when it comes to a lot of things in terms of addressing societal issues that all countries face. But they have the type of government structure in place to kind of, you know, deal with those societal issues like bullying, online bullying, and gaming, and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And so, I think it's subjective, like you were saying, Beach Bum. But at the same time, it's like everything's subjective, right? So, it's called almost like sexual harassment, right? We have sexual harassment laws, but that's subjective as well. So, you know, so I think that, you know, if you don't want to get locked up, then you watch what you say, just the same way as if you don't want a male or female to report sexual harassment, then you kind of watch the jokes that you make, right? And you don't say, oh, I was just hitting after you've already been, you know, kind of targeted for sexual harassment, because that's not going to fly, right? So I think this is a good move. I mean, if it's going to help, you know, target online bullies and people who, you know, don't have that kind of decorum online, then why not?
See,
I don't think it's going to fly. I don't think it'll ever fly in this country, though, because, you know, we have something called the First Amendment, and that's, you know, that's going to be a tough challenge to say I can't say what the hell I want to say to whom I want to say it to. So I don't think it'll fly in this country, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have it in place if another country has the laws and set up to make it happen.
All right. Hey, try to speak up a little bit more if you can. It's coming in a little low through the speed. Blur, what you got?
You know, it's funny. Well, I got to correct you, man, because you threw the U.S. in there, too, as, like, I think you said one of the authoritarian countries that's trying to, like, ban it. Like, that's never, like, I mentioned that that's never going to happen here in the U.S. because we do have freedom of speech. No,
yeah,
no, not you said it. Gunn said that when he was listing countries. He was he said Russia, China, Japan. You said U.S. as well. I want to interrupt DJ Time. I was like, whoa, pump the brakes. That's never going to fly here in the U.S. because we have freedom of speech. And I do think that's one of the things that people may get confused, it's one of the things that everybody enjoys and will stand up for. Because people will say their freedom of speech is being infringed upon. But all it really does is the government is not going to lock you up because you can say whatever the fuck you want. So what they're doing in Japan is the direct opposite of what we kind of stand for here in the U.S., which is why it'll never happen. But that's also why I think we don't need that here. Because we tell people, like, not tell people, but everyone kind of knows, well, I got to stop saying everyone. But for the most part, people know, like, look, you can say whatever you want. You're not going to go to jail for it. I know John, whatever dude, the host of the Tonight Show, the Daily Show, I can't remember his name. He says, hey, when he grew up in South Africa, they would come, the government would actually come and arrest people. He said the name of the government, the cops, I forgot, the Gestapos or whatever, would actually come and arrest people who says stuff against the government. That's not going to happen here. He's like, hey, you can say whatever you want. All it means is that you're not going to get arrested. The FBI and the cops aren't going to come and arrest you because you said something. You may get punched in the face. There can still be repercussions for things you say. It just won't come from the government. And I'm totally cool with that. Now, in Japan, I totally understand why they tried that because somebody was getting bullied online. They did wind up committing suicide. It was a reality TV show person in Japan. They were getting bullied and they wind up killing themselves. And, you know, people, the pendulum swings from one way to the other. They went from extreme. They're like, yo, we need to take an extreme stance on this. And I get why you do that, but, nah, I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I do feel like people should be held accountable for things they say, but I don't think you should get locked up for saying stuff online or, I mean, for the most part, for saying stuff in, not even online, in person. If you got the heart to say it, see, the problem is people are always putting their name on it. But if they could find out who you are, the government or anyone else, if you got the heart to say it, then you got the heart to deal with the repercussions. I just don't think those repercussions should be in jail time, especially for a year. And I do understand that's probably going to be for the worst. Like, you probably got to have a prolonged track record of bullying one person or a bunch of people to get to where you get locked up for a year because they got other stuff. Like, you might get fined and stuff like that. Might have to go to jail for a week or a day or a month before it gets to the full year. So I think if you go to jail for a year, that means you were really showing your ass online and they had to, like, put a stop to it.
See?
Yes.
Okay, so just to explain myself, when I was saying going more towards, you know, those type of countries, I wasn't saying we're as bad as the other ones, but it seems like the way the Supreme Court and the way these laws are changing, it looks like we're headed toward that way where the government is telling you what you can and can't do with your body. So I was just saying that, you know, America's going towards that. Now, are we as close as Japan? No. But the problem I have with this rule, and I'm so surprised that y'all are, like, halfway okay with it because we're all sports fans. Like, you mean to tell me Skip Bayless can go to jail because he calls Russell Westbrook Westbrook? Like, that's not cool. Like, we've all said, hey, that person sucks. Now, we all play sports, so we know they don't suck. But if you're a fan of a team and you're frustrated and you let that out, like, you shouldn't face jail for that. Now, if they want to come back and say something to you, then that's on them. I don't think it's ever that serious. But unless you're threatening someone's life, I don't think that. Oh, shit. Unless you're going to threatening someone's life, I don't think you should go to jail for it. just seems kind of crazy to me. I'm surprised that you guys are halfway okay with people going to jail just for hurling in an insult, which, again, we've all said, it's subjective. It might not even really have been an insult. Somebody says, yo, Kevin Durant needs to be a better teammate. He can take that as an assault, and now you face him a year in jail? That seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah,
well, I said specifically that nobody going to jail, but yeah.
I don't think it's that vague though, right? I think if they're gonna put that penalizing, it's gonna have to result to something, right? Like systemic. That's why I said bullying, right? That's why I said bullying, right? I contributed to online bullying, right? Like if you're constantly attacking me in a way that's leading to affect my mental health, and I end up committing suicide, and as a direct result of the attacks that you were giving me, then I think that is the basis of what they're saying in terms of the 1 year in jail. I don't think they're saying, hey, you call me an idiot one day, you're going to face jail time. But if you're constantly picking on me every day in school, constant, report after report of you doing this and you don't stop, and I end up killing myself or committing suicide over that, and I can prove, and my parents, or if I'm a parent and my child, and I can prove through online messaging that you were attacking my child, I should be able to come after you as being liable as a cause of why that happened. I think that's the spirit behind the law. And I think that the year part, I mean, they can't do probation. That's not stopping anything. You have to kind of go at least a year to prevent anybody from thinking that they can't. Or, you know what I mean? Because if it's just a fine, well, I'm still going to call you names and pay the damn fine, right? I'm still going to bully you and pay a fine. But if I'm threatening jail time, well, that's a whole nother ball game. I'm going to watch what I say to you because I don't want to go to jail.
All right.
So I think it has to be that harsh.
Blur has to be more, then I got to hear back from Blur. Because from what I, hey, New York, you're welcome to the offer, my brother. Hey, but Blur has to be a little bit more, what was the rule again? Because, M. Extra, I understand what you're saying. If there's a consistent level of bullying and verbal abuse from someone to be hold them liable, I get that. But from what Blur described is the government can determine that if you insult someone online, you can go to jail. Insult is very vague. Now, if you're telling me this law only applies to somebody who's being verbally abusive and can show a pattern of verbal abuse to a particular person, okay. But if you're telling me Japan says, hey, you can go to jail if you insult anybody online, that to me is wild. So, Blur, what was the actual, I don't know if I stalled enough for you to actually look it up, but what was the actual law in Japan?
Oh, if that was you doing, my bad, because I ain't look up shit. But I do remember that it's levels to it, though. I remember it's levels to it. So there are steps to get before you get to a year. Like, and again, this is for online insults. So you'll probably get kicked off of social media. So say you get kicked off of Twitter, and then, you know, you turn around and you still bullying or throwing insults, which is, I mean, tomato, tomato, to somebody on Instagram. And then you're on Facebook and, you know, TikTok. And they were like, all right, look, you're a menace. You're going away for a year. Now, you're right. It does come down to someone has to look at this and make a determination. A cop, somebody's going to look and like, yo, this chick just told this other chick she's so brave for wearing pink and green together. Is that an insult? Is she really saying she's brave? Like, somebody is going to have to look at this and make a determination. And so there are steps. If you say, hey, Russell Westbrook, you can't shoot, I mean, it's an insult. Yeah, they're not going to lock you up for a year for that. Somebody's going to look at it like, hey, you know what? That's a sports. He is insulting them, but that's just sports talk. They're not going to step in on that. Hey, Russell Westbrook, you a dirty motherfucker. I hope you burn in hell. You know, flag this dude right here. Go ahead and suspend his account. Oh, shit, he just made the same comment over here. All right, yeah, go ahead and kick him off. Oh, he made the same comment over here the next day. All right, go ahead and fine him. He's now fined $200. After the fine, $1,000. All right, now you got him up in jail. Fuck it, you're going to jail for a year.
I think y'all are giving way too much credit to the government. So if I say, you know, Kim Jong-un is a terrible president, I wish he didn't get elected. And if I say that one time, the government who's made these laws or whatever can say, hey, that's an insult and throw me in jail. Now, if I insult,
well, hold on.
Blair,
are you saying that in China? Because if you say that in China, you might be getting some poison in your teeth.
No, well, I was just using an Asian name, and that's the only one I can find.
That's North Korea. That's North Korea, though. You insult the great leader. Yeah, you may never come home again.
Yeah, you ain't coming home, bro. Like North Korea, I mean, yeah.
And they kick you off of nothing. You ain't got
right, Dave. Like, yeah, you go straight. You go right to jail. You don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Nothing, yo. You going right to jail, bro.
Okay, but take it in Japan. Who's making this rule? If I say General Tsai is a terrible leader, I don't know Japan. y'all got on me for saying Kim Jong-un. Like, y'all didn't realize that I couldn't figure out Japan.
I thought you switched countries on this. That's all, bro.
Nah, I know. See, I was going to say an Asian joke, but I don't want to get canceled. But, so, like, if you're in Japan and you insult the president of Japan, you know, or just criticize his leadership, you know, you're giving that government the power to basically say you can't criticize the government online. And I think, which most media is online now, and I just think that's completely dangerous. Now, Japan is a democratic state like we are, right? I know China's not, but I thought that's the reason why we bombed Japan. I don't know.
They're not a communist. They're not communist, but I don't think they're a straight democracy either, though.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, you got anything left? I mean, we'll see how it goes. We'll see if we get a Squid 3.
Just a heads up, it does say here Japan is a constitutional monarchy. So they got a monarchy.
England. Yeah. It's just like England. They have a parliament. They're a constitutional monarchy. That's what England is. It's a constitutional monarchy. But, okay. All right. So we'll see. Blair, you got anything left to finish your topic from 2 weeks ago?
Oh, no. I just thought that was very interesting. There's a lot of things coming out from the West, man. China with their ban on games and the amount of time kids can spend on the Internet. And now in Japan, they're limiting this. Like, oh, you can go to jail for talking shit on the Internet. They tackling some social issues. The government tackling social issues. I love to see it. I don't agree with it, but I love to see it.
New York, you got anything on it? Welcome to the off-ramp, my brother.
Oh, yeah, like, I missed the whole topic. I didn't know what was going on, but I won't hold y'all up.
All right, cool. So 2 weeks ago, what I got? So Golden State won the championship. Steph Curry got the MVP of the finals. I didn't think he deserved it, but he got it. But I understand why he got it. Props to Steph. Props to Golden State. I didn't think they had a chance coming back from all those injuries. But, you know, Steph and Clay and Draymond did it again. Andrew Wiggins came in. It was a great pickup for them. And they got another ship, man. There's a lot of talk asking if they are a dynasty. And I wanted to ask because I thought to be a dynasty, you had to win three straight. And they didn't win three straight, so I was wondering how they could be a dynasty. Like, they didn't even make the playoffs the last 2 years. I guess we blame that on injuries. I was really disappointed in Boston. I thought that they would have more fight left. It just seems like they were too young. But, you know, it was a good finals for the six games. That last game was pretty rough. But, you know, props to Golden State, man. So I guess my question is, what y'all think of the finals? Did y'all watch it? And has Steph moved up? Because he put in a great performance. Has he moved up your all-time list? Like, where do y'all rank Steph now? DJ Cesar, do you care anything about the NBA finals?
Yeah, a little bit. But I don't know about the question. I don't know. I haven't ranked any current NBA players. So
What was the last current NBA? What was the last NBA player you ranked? Baron Davis?
Don't be funny.
I'm asking.
I never ranked NBA players. Okay. I just have my favorite.
And Max, what do you think of the finals?
Well, I got one question for you, because you mentioned it, but then you never followed up. So who do you think deserved the MVP if it wasn't Steph? Who do you think deserved the MVP if it's not Steph? I mean, you said you didn't think he deserved it, so that means you obviously think somebody else should have got it.
Yeah, I think Andrew Wiggins should have got finals MVP. Now, it's tough because that last game was such a statement for Steph. But I think Andrew Wiggins defensively and offensively was the reason why Golden State won. I think even the games when Steph did his thing and they still lost, it was because, you know, Andrew Wiggins might not have had that great of a game. But anytime Andrew scored 20 and 10, they got the W. And he was defending everybody's best player. You don't have that with Steph. Like, they was going at Steph. Steph was a liability on defense. Well, not Steph wasn't so much of a liability as he's been in the past. But they was going at him. Now, props to Steph, because they was going at him. They was beating him up, and he was still coming back hitting trade balls, especially, again, in that last game. But there was a couple games where Steph disappeared, and I think only one game Andrew didn't play well. But he still played good defense. Especially with Draymond playing so terrible. I think Wiggins really, really stepped up. And now I get why they gave it to Steph. And, you know, I mean, splitting hair Steph for Andrew Wiggins. I just didn't think Steph was the clear away favorite to win finals MVP. But that last game, like, what you going to say? I think he gave him, what, 45 in the Garden?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I had to ask because I'm like, bro, like, they don't win in five without Steph. They just don't. They really don't.
They don't win without Wiggins either.
Well, it might have been going to game seven without Wiggins, but they don't win without Steph, period. They're not even there without Steph, to me.
I don't think they're there without Wiggins either, honestly. I honestly don't. I think Wiggins played that. When Wiggins played well, they were the best team in NBA. Steph played well, even if Wiggins didn't, they still lost. If there was a lot of games that Steph played really, really well, and if Wiggins didn't show up, they lost. Just because Wiggins is such a threat on defense. Like, he's such a big factor for them on defense. But again, I get it. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue who's better than Steph or Wiggins and who deserves that.
Absolutely.
I just want your opinion because, I mean, you know, I didn't think Iguodala deserved it when he got it. And so I'm just not a fan of role players showing up in, like, one series and then all of a sudden they get an MVP when, you know, clearly the superstar is which dropped that engine, right? Like, but anyway, in terms of dynasty, that question, I don't really consider that being a dynasty. I think they had an opportunity to be a dynasty. Now Clay got hurt and they didn't make the playoffs. So, I mean, that just kind of speaks to why they're not a dynasty, right? So I think they had an opportunity though when they went back to back and then they got the Durant happened and all that kind of stuff. I think if Durant stayed, they had an opportunity to be in that mode. But, you know, what happened last year, COVID year and all that kind of stuff, you just can't put them in that dynasty category yet, even though they won four with the nucleus of Clay and Draymond. overall, I thought the finals was good. I thought Boston had it after they won Golden State. I thought they were going to come home, take care of business, and then and win and go in state, and they just didn't pull it out. I don't know why. Maybe I guess you can say they're young, but I think they almost kind of like just their will got broken, you know, and you know they pride themselves on good defense, but you know when you got better offense, it's hard to beat, right? So
yeah.
You can't trade twos for threes. I thought that they didn't shoot well behind the arc. And especially in, I think it was the game four when they had that lead, and then all of a sudden they lost the lead. It's just hard there when you got daggers going from the three-point line and you coming back, you can't match it, and you don't have nobody that can really get to the bucket consistently to give you that big three-point play. It's just hard to do. But
yeah, it's amazing to think how Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can't dribble. It was amazing
yeah.
to see.
Yeah. So that's my take, though.
Blur?
You know, it's weird. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I had y'all off mute. I'm over here at my desk clicking and clacking away. My bad for the background noise. Four championships in 8 years. It sounds like a dynasty. It sounds like it should be a dynasty. That's essentially winning a championship every other year. And just a number alone, that would be considered a dynasty. Like, I don't think they are, though. And I mean, of course, the injuries and they missed the playoffs the last 2 years. But I don't think that's why. I don't think they're a dynasty because who would be the dynasty? I don't think Steph, Clay, and Draymond make up a dynasty because I don't think they get two of the rings without KD. So you essentially brought in a ringer, got two rings, and he left. And I think that makes a big asterisk. I know people hate asterisks in sports, but I don't think you can – yeah, I don't think two – so essentially it would be two championships in 8 years for the core three. That's not a dynasty because I think you have to take those two with KD out because he wouldn't be part of the dynasty.
Okay. New York, New York, did you watch the finals at all?
To be honest, I can't even remember. I can't even remember. I probably did, but I just can't remember. I just know that they won, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I can't about it, but, yeah, I mean, I just can't remember if I watched it or not. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was doing that day, but I can't remember.
Nah, you good. All right. So that was my 2 weeks ago. Anybody got anything else? Well, I guess none of y'all had anything else from 2 weeks ago. So current events. So, I mean, we could just get into it. So Roe versus Wade got overturned while we were gone. I know we talked about the leak a couple weeks ago when the memo got leaked, but it is now official. It happened last Thursday. And, you know, the day we were supposed to go on, or last Wednesday, I don't know.
Friday.
It don't matter. But it is now official. It is not a federal right for a woman to have an abortion. You can still get an abortion if your state allows it. But the Supreme Court basically threw it back into the state saying, hey, this is not a federal issue. This is a state issue. You run your state how you want. This is a state right thing. And there's been protests across the country, and, you know, there's been a lot of support for women. Look, I was shocked because, you know, I know a diverse population, and I was on the Zoom with all white women, and they said they were boycotting July 4th because of this. And I was like, well, we still not coming into work, right? And a couple of ladies was like, I'm coming into work. I'm not celebrating. I'm not taking a day off. And I was like, I'm not coming into work. And they was like, this is ridiculous. Like, and they went on their rant. And it was like, we aren't celebrating Independence Day at all. So I was like, this just isn't what we signed up for in America. So I made the joke. And some of my jokes be really genius, but I think they go over people's heads. I said, if I knew y'all was going to sit out July 4th, I would have invited y'all to my Juneteenth party. And it's really making fun of the fact that, you know, again, abortion is serious, but they're skipping out on celebrating Independence Day when if a black person says I'm skipping out on Independence Day because we weren't independent, we weren't free, it's don't have that discussion. We're not talking about slavery now. But these white folks, who I love, who are great, was really like compassion. Like, oh, I didn't know you celebrated Juneteenth. Next year we'll come over and hang out. And I was like, no, that's not what I was trying to get to. But so Roe versus Wade has overturned, and DJ C. Siren as the woman of the group tonight. I just want to get your thoughts and your feelings and see how you feel about, you know, Roe versus Wade. I do want to have a discussion because I do have another way of looking at this, and me and my wife thought about this. So don't get mad at me when we start talking.
Don't get mad.
But I do want to get your thoughts, respectful as the woman, like how you think this affects your woman species.
Woman species?
I guess we're all the same species,
yeah,
but we're woman gender.
I mean, we kind of already talked about it. We knew it was coming. It is frightening how, you know, in a country that, you know, everyone wants to go to because you have rights and you're able to do things that's best for you, then very easily that could be reversed. What else can be reversed? And it's not, I mean, it is about abortion, but also about everything else that it might come to. But in terms of just this state, you know, or this one topic, it is sad. It's sad for those who don't subscribe to this, you know, religious, moral focus. Look, you have to understand people, you know, I'm sorry, not everyone is, you know, abstaining from sex before marriage, you know, and this is basically, this whole thing is, I feel like, is punishment for having sex outside of marriage, and you just have to deal with it. And this whole thing about, you know, taking care of fetuses or pre-fetuses or eggs that have, you know, a million cells, you know, whatever we go as, you know, killing babies is just talk to make it sound like someone is a bad person or has no morals when it has nothing to do with that. But it's sad, especially for those scared, poor, you know, girls and women, and for some of these states to not even have an exception for rape or incest is, you know, it's very scary. I mean, to understand that someone can be made to have sex with someone and get pregnant by it, and whatever outcome, and in fact, is a pregnancy, then you have to deal with that for the rest of your life, and there's no reason, and you have to take care of a child that is someone who has raped you is that is almost astounding. So,
okay.
It's sad.
New York, you got anything on Roe versus Wade?
I think it's crazy. It's one of those conversations I want to sit back and listen to because it's one of those heavy conversations at a point where, I mean, I don't know, just like with DJ C. Conn, I'm just talking about in the latter about rape victims and people who can't afford children at that time in the state, how it affects them. But I think this is a teachable moment for me, so I'll just want to listen to everybody's opinion.
Okay. Blur?
All right. I know this is going to be a little bit unpopular. And it's just from the legal aspect of it, this is not surprising. And not because of the leak that came out a couple weeks ago. Because most people, especially like when they hear things from the Supreme Court or for any court cases, they just – the final outcome, which is human nature. All right, we don't care about whatever the thought process that went into it. What's the final outcome? So Roe v. Wade has been under attack for a while, and it's been brought to the Supreme Court in different forms a number of times, and it's always come out codified or supported. They're like, yeah. But in each opinion, there's always what's called a dissenting position, where the people who voted against it, whatever judges voted against it, one of them writes a dissent and say, hey, this is why we thought it should have went the other way. those dissents have come from some of the more liberal judges, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She dissented on it a couple times, and it's always kind of been, all right, enough judges don't like this for the legal reasons, not necessarily, hey, we think abortion should be illegal. We just don't like the law itself. And they're like, but it's been affirmed so many times, there's been enough judges like, look, we don't go against precedent, which the Supreme Court isn't supposed to. It's been upheld so many times. It's like, all right, this is basically the law, even though it's not a law. It's just been upheld so many times that we shouldn't go against it. Well, lo and behold, they got enough judges there who don't give a fuck. And they say, all right, we don't care that it's been upheld so many times. We don't like it, so we're voting against it. The problem is there's been enough judges who didn't like it. They just didn't. They just weren't going to go against the precedent. So I like, legally you could kind of see that this was happening, that this was going to happen. If not now, very soon. Because Justice Alito, who's been on the bench I don't know how long, and a lot of people don't like him because he's a Republican, but he's like, his logic is kind of sound. And I've seen enough of his talks and his speeches from law school and grad school. He essentially says, like, look, I don't make laws. If you don't like the law, change the law. And enough judges, they always kind of, you know what, you're right. We don't like this, but if the law says this, this is what the law says, we'll kick it back to the state, let them change the law. If y'all don't like it, change it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do the work for you and make the law for you. If you don't want to have abortions, go ahead, take it to your people, vote on it, put a bill, make it the law. If you do like abortions, make it a law. Don't make us make the decision for you. So, again, it's fucked up. Not on agree with it, but legally you could see this coming down the pipe and you could see this about to happen. Wish more people, especially more politicians, paid attention and did something about it before it got to this point.
M extra? You got us on mute, M extra? Are you speaking low?
No.
I'm
here.
All right.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Speak like that because sometimes you get low in your thoughts.
Yeah, it must be that the AirPod. But so coming from blue. But with that same thought process then, because it's not just about abortion, right? They keep bringing up Roe, but really it's about the right to privacy, right? And the due process clause in the 14th Amendment, right? That says that the government won't infringe on your personal, like, beliefs, right, or whatever, right? That's why the same-sex marriage, that's why Clarence Thomas tipped the hand about same-sex marriage, about right to interracial marriage, with right to contraception, right? So if you're not surprised, right, because I'm not surprised that they would go as soon as they had a supermajority. I knew that it was going to come up because the red states weren't going to stop bringing, you know, these type cases to the Supreme Court. I mean, that's just their playbook, right? But from your logic then he should not have said, oh, well, we're only talking about abortion. We're not talking about the right to contraception. We're not talking about the right to same-sex marriage, even though those cases were brought before the Supreme Court, which they codified under the same premise of right to privacy or the just cause or the due process cause under the 14th Amendment. So you can't say one thing and be like, oh, yeah, we want to do it because of this, and that's my argument, and then backtrack and say, oh, well, the same case, even though it's a part of the same law process, oh, well, we're not going to talk about that either, right? Disheartening. Because every last one of those new judges that Trump, all the three that Trump came, they all were asked that same question. They all were asked that same question. And they all said that it was precedent. They all said that no one's talking about, well. And that's where I'm talking, that's where a lot of the frustration part is, because, again, they knew, like, they were out here, knew exactly what they were doing. And all these freaking senators were out here believing what they were saying, even though they knew, because Amy Coney Barrett said it. She said it that she was going to, that's what she was not, she was for overturning Roe. And then she came in front of the Senate Judiciary and was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. It's codified. It's precedent. And I believe in that, right? So they're all liars. And I'm not surprised that they lied to get confirmed, right? I'm just surprised that there was enough senators that didn't believe or that believed them in the lie. Like, that's the part. And then I'm also concerned and also surprised that all these people who, you know what I mean, were so wrapped up in Hillary's emails didn't see this shit coming, right? Because back then I said it, right? And all our arguments and stuff, and Beachbum, you can attest to this, right? When we were talking with our frat brothers, right? I kept saying, it ain't about Hillary. It's about the Supreme Court. It ain't about all that, right? Soon as they get it, they got at least two Supreme Court picks, right? So we bumped in that motherfucker. We tipping the court. And everybody was wrapped up in this smoke and mirrors campaign about Hillary's email, and then here we are, right? And that's the frustrating part for me. But to me, I think that while it's disheartening for the rights of women and the rights of privacy is now infringed upon with this, I think that now people need to wake up. Because if you believe Samuel Alito talking about that this ain't about the right to contraception, or it ain't about same-sex marriage and all that other kind of stuff, then you just as dumb as the time when you voted for Trump, or you didn't support Hillary because, or you didn't vote for Hillary, or you didn't show up to that election because you just was so wrapped up in the emails. Because Clarence Thomas already tipped the hat. They are going to come. He basically sounded the alarm. And if you think these Republican states aren't going to now, after this Roe decision, start doing the same shit and bringing up same-sex marriage, right, to the Supreme Court and keep on challenging same-sex marriage until the fact that now there is no precedent around right to privacy now. That's what Roe killed, right? So now it's about abortion. But understand the due process clause, understand the right to privacy clause in that 14th Amendment. There is no precedent now. So any state that wants to bring up contraception, any state that wants to bring up, same-sex marriage, there is no precedent that the Supreme Court now can say, oh, well, there's precedent behind that, right? They can overturn that shit too. And Clarence Thomas already gave a hand to it. And I don't believe Samuel Alito when he says that it ain't coming before them, because they already tipped their hand, right? So that's why your vote matters. That's why I can keep saying that. I just keep saying that shit. And that's the hypocrisy behind it all. That's the shit I don't like. So.
Okay. DJ Cesarini, you want to jump back in? Blur, you got any rebuttals?
Oh, no, not a rebuttal, just an agreement. Like, yeah, I think you said that they hypocrisy – No, they're not hypocrisy. They flat out lied. They flat out lied. And when you get a lifetime appointment, who cares about what lie you told, right? So, yeah, they flat out lied. And, I mean, shit, nothing, I would say it's nothing you could do about it because there's something that can't be done. But, they lied. They got away with it. Again, I just really wish people were paying attention. Just like you're talking about right now, Clarence Thomas said, hey, we're going to go after same-sex marriage. We're going to go after contraceptives. And people are still probably thinking, they're listening to Alito, they're going to say, oh, you know what, that's been like that my whole life. That's never going to change. They're not going to get rid of birth control. They're not. Hey, people said the same thing about abortion, and here we are. So sometimes people, I think Trump probably should have sounded the bell by, yo, people will do the things you think are unthinkable. People will still do them. And, hey, you got to be ready to react and sometimes even, I don't even call react, but act preemptively because, yeah, shit's happening.
Yo, getting arrested for having a condom is going crazy. Like, if they get rid of abortion, I mean, not abortion, but, like, contraceptives, or they get rid of birth control, like, if they say birth control is illegal, and, like, you see college girls, like, a college raid on campus because college kids are...
College kids are going to be us. I'm going to get arrested.
Who?
Me and you.
I ain't going to arrest you. We don't use birth control, do we? Oh, yeah, I guess you are on birth control. That's ignorant as hell. See, this is, that's men for you. I didn't know you was on birth control. I thought I was shooting blacks. No, we will move. But that's the thing that sucks about, you know, all this stuff is, because on one hand, I kind of agree with it because I do believe in states' rights. I believe a state, the people should elect their local officials and the state should have the power to run their state how they feel. So if you're in Utah and you like, yo, we're the only white state left, the blacks have taken over, the Mexicans have taken over, we want to outlaw abortion so we can get some more whites that are going to, you know.
And no interracial marriage.
Yeah, no interracial marriages. As bad as that sounds, if the elected officials, if that's what the people want in that state, it don't even sound like saying it, but, like, I can understand that. Like, because I want, like, I take great pride in voting for my local officials. Like, I can't wait for the Virginia governor to come back up again because I might have to take a break because I'm leading a movement to get him the fuck out of there just because he's sending me back to work next week. I didn't vote for him prior to that, but now I have a vested interest in running the state how I feel because I feel like as a Republican, he lied. He was all about, hey, businesses should be able to run how they run. As soon as he gets in office, he tells all of us that we have to do what he wants. And I was like, nope, now you got to go. You stepped over the line.
You know what's funny, Ben? You mentioned that.
Go ahead.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember under what topic. It might have been this right here. We talked about, like, what things should, like, I don't remember exactly how it came about. Like, what should be, like, universal in the U.S.? Because I remember I talked about, hey, should kids – it was about education, I think. So I was like, yo, should kids have to be, like – should education be, like, you know, a standard across the entire country? This comes into play essentially the same thing. Like, is the U.S. going to stand for something? Yeah, we can have states' rights, and each state can have certain rights that are different, but what's going to be universal across the entire country? What's going to be a U.S. federal right that this is how we do things in this country? When you fly over to these borders, this is how we get down. I mean, there were certain things we brought up, freedom of speech. I mean, that's one. I thought abortion was always going to be one of those things. Like, hey, you come over here, we ain't going to force you to keep the baby. I mean, obviously down in the South, that's always been a big thing when I was down there. And I was like, oh, well, hey, you can try to succeed again. I mean, you can try to break apart if you want to. We're going to kick your ass and bring you back in. In the U.S., we don't make you keep the baby. It wasn't going to be, hey, if you cross the border, you could do that over here, you can keep the baby. Over there, you can get rid of the baby. Nah, in this country, we don't force you to keep the baby. But, hey, clearly there's enough people who feel like it should be up to a state-by-state decision, whereas I always thought, and I kind of feel like this should be a country thing. It's not. This shouldn't be one of the things that can differ depending on what side of the highway you want. This should be one of the things that's going to be, in this country, this is how we get down.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
I want to get to that topic a little bit later, but at first I want to have this discussion with y'all,
because this is what I was getting to before you interrupted me, Blair. Take abortion out of it, right? And I'm going to get to your point in a minute, Blair, because I want to have that discussion too. But this is a discussion I was having with DJ C. Sire. In America, should you have the right to do whatever you want to your body? DJ C. Sire, what say you?
No.
Okay. Blur, what say you?
I know what you.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, no. And I mean, I guess I could give some examples, but the quick answer is no. You shouldn't have the right to do whatever you want.
To your own body. Not to anybody else's body. To your own body.
No man is an island unto himself, though. So your body and things you do to it can have effect on other people. So that's why it's no, you don't get to do whatever
you
want.
So no for you. M Extra.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of caveats to that, right? Like, I think that if it has to do with my own personal health, then yes, I should be able to do whatever I want to do with my own body. But when it comes to stuff that affects other people potentially, then that's where the controls have to be put in place, right? Like, I can't, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. There's just caveats to it, right? Like, I can't, you can't just be out there strapping a bomb or carrying a bomb around and just going to go into a supermarket because I feel like I can blow my body up when I want to, right? And I'll take out
no,
a whole fucking
murder.
Supermarket just because of that.
No, that's
no,
murder. You're murdering
what I want to do with my body. But that's why I'm saying that, but that's why I'm saying that there's caveats, right? Because again, if I'm walking around with
the flu,
coughing on people, I choose not to be vaccinated. I want to cough on people. I'm gonna cough on people, right? So like that's what I want to do with my body. But there's caveats. There got to be caveats.
That's what I was saying. Like, yeah, you can't do anything you want with your body because your body may have an effect on other people. What you do to it,
right? Right.
Well, then that's why they made abortion illegal. Let me get New York here. I just want to see if he has an opinion. New York, you want to jump in here? Well, hold on.
No, I agree. Like, I agree. It's caveats to the situation. Yeah, I agree, but I still say no to.
See, I say, yeah, you should be able to do whatever you want to your body, but it's scary to think because, you know, it's your body, yes. Should you be able to strap a bomb to your body and go in a church full of Muslims and blow it up because I can do whatever I want to my body? No. There's limits to, I'm only talking about your own body that only affects you. Should you, because that's why I support it. That's why I support, like, I don't like the fact of abortions, but that's why I support it for women because they should have domain over their body. And if they don't want to have a child and they're willing to pay somebody to remove that child, that's on them. If you say, hey, God doesn't like that, that's between them and God. That's me. But then I struggle with, should I let a six-year-old drink a beer? Be able to purchase a beer? No. But, you know, if they want, like, okay, this discussion came about because I was like, is suicide illegal? So I'll ask either Blur or Emerson. I know you guys are well-versed in the court system. Is suicide illegal?
Oh, I'll take it. I ain't going to step on nobody's toes. When you say illegal, no, because how do you punish somebody who's already killed themselves? So it's not a crime. Like, there's no law in the book saying, hey, this is a crime. You'll be punished by up to such and such because you've killed yourself. You've done it. That's it. So, no, suicide is not a crime.
So it's not illegal.
More close to it would be, like, the self-assisted suicide or the physician-assisted suicide, like, think of Dr. Kevorkian. Like,
yeah,
for the longest time, well, yes and no. Assisted suicide is when what Dr. Kevorkian was doing, where he would give elderly people the medicine, we'll call it medicine, but they would have to do the thing themselves. Like, they would go to a hotel, he would give them the medicine, they had to push the plunger themselves. They had to set it up so that it did it on its own. He didn't do it. He did do it one time because he thought he was all righteous. He did do it once, and he filmed it, and that's why he got caught, and he went to jail because that was physician-assisted suicide. That is illegal. You can't do that. But if you want to prescribe a drug that and they know they're going to kill it, it's frowned upon in some states. Again, here we go with the states. They have things on the books where it still may be considered illegal, but it's not necessarily federally it's not illegal because you're not doing it. They are doing it themselves. And that's just here in the U.S. There's other countries where, yeah, they're going to lock your ass up and throw you under the jail. But, yeah, that's how Kevorkian dodged getting sentenced and getting locked up for a very long time because he never did anything himself directly. He's like, hey, I prescribed morphine to these people. And he would set up the camera, and he beforehand would give them the instructions on what to do, and they would record themselves killing themselves with the morphine he prescribed. But it was, the camera was set up to show, like, hey, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't do anything myself, except for the one time he did.
So suicide is not illegal. So, and that's where I struggle with this topic, because on one hand, I think just like y'all, no, you shouldn't be able to do anything you want. It affects other people. Things can come into play. But then on the other side, I say, yo, this is my life, my body. I should be able to do what I want with my life, my body, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. And when I look at the abortion topic, I can see the side where somebody says, no, this, yes, this is your, that's your body, it's your life, but you're affecting someone else. So we don't want it legal. And then I also see the side where I say, hey, it's their body, their choice, do what they want with it, and let God sort it out. So I really
do you know why you have to wear a seatbelt in the car? It was because insurance companies were saying, hey, and this was the law, because before you didn't have to wear a seatbelt. When they made that into a law, it was because, hey, if you kill yourself, if you speed and you get into an accident, somebody has to clean you up. Somebody has to come along and scrape you off the ground when you go flying through this windshield. Somebody has to tow this car. Somebody has to use the jaws of life and peel you out because you weren't wearing a seatbelt. So, yeah, this is your car. This is your life. But by not wearing a seatbelt, you are inconveniencing other people in your community around you. Therefore, we are going to make it a law that you have to wear a seatbelt. And
because
that's why you have to have insurance. It's affecting other people. You have to have insurance, because if you're driving without insurance and you get into an accident, it's going to affect the rest of this community. No, so now you have to have insurance. So those are things like,
well,
hey,
that's why I understand you're against abortion.
You want to go throw yourself off a bridge because you don't want to be here no more. Somebody's got to fish you out the river.
No, they don't. They can let you sit there.
They could, but I mean, that's not how we get down in a society. We don't just let people sit in the bottom of the river if we know they're there.
They just found some people in the Colorado River because it's at its lowest point in years. It's a lot of Vegas mafia bodies. So I don't know. I really struggle with it because I feel like as an American, as an adult, as a person who only has one life, I should be able to do whatever I want to my body, whether if I want to poison it with alcohol and marijuana, or if I want to keep it healthy and drink nothing but kale smoothies and eat broccoli, or if I, you know, if I'm a woman and I get pregnant and I don't want it, and if I don't want the baby, I should be able to abort it. But on the other hand, just like y'all said, what I do to my body affects other people. And
in a case with abortion, you have somebody else there. All the people affected are there and signed on it. You got the doctor. The fetus, which people say, hey, we're speaking for the fetus. No one asked you to, but hey, people are speaking for the fetus, and they say, hey, fetus. That's where the debate comes in. The one being who isn't getting a vote in the situation, and someone there saying, hey, we're speaking up for them. But in this particular case, like with Dr. Kevorkian, they had somebody there to dispose of the body, to take the body, so it wasn't affecting anybody who wasn't already signed off on it. In this particular case, depending on how you look at it, is there a being that isn't got a vote in this situation? I mean, clearly there's enough people who think there is.
And this is why I say it's all about hypocrisy, right? Because, again, right, just going back to the abortion, right, you want to speak for the fetus because the fetus don't have a name. Right, but I get locked up if I let my child drink alcohol, right? So I'm always speaking for my child as a parent until they get of legal age to speak for themselves. Otherwise, I'm going to be punished by whatever happens to my child if I let them cause neglect, right? And so now you're talking about, oh, well, the fetus don't have a right to speak for themselves. Where do they speak for themselves? Well, what five-year-old gets to speak for themselves, right? Like what? And then those same people in all those Republican states who are, I got all these trigger laws talking about, oh, the heartbeat bill. So why they still got death squads and why they got death sentences then. If you're all pro-life and everybody has a right to life, why you still got death penalties on your books? Why you just passed a firing squad down in North Carolina or whatever, in Georgia? Right? Like, if you're all about pro-life, why is there a death penalty in the United States? Like, this shit, that's the shit that don't make sense to me, right? Like, it's like you pro-life and tell us you're not.
Yeah, and you know, I agree. And that's why I hate the hypocrisy of it. But that's why I also try to find some consistency in how I think. Because you're absolutely right. You're pro-life until you want to kill somebody for, you know, you want to kill the wrong person for a crime they may not committed. They've been locked up for 60 years.
Anti-lynching is still on their books. They still got anti-lynching law still on all those books down south. They still got lynching.
So,
not anti-lynching. Lynching is still on books, on law books in some of those same Republican states that just gave, that got trigger laws talking about a heartbeat bill. But you still can lynch somebody legally on your constitutional book. Like what the hell is going on here in our country, right? And so that's
I told you we're going back to authoritarianism.
To your original point, Beach Bum. That's why when you said you believe in states' rights, but sometimes states can't need somebody to fucking protect them from themselves. Because, again, there's still lynching going on. And the only reason why still on their books, the only reason why they can't do that shit is because they're a federal anti-lynching law. So the federal government had to step in and be like, nah, man, you can't do that shit no more. Because we got to protect you from yourself. Right? Because
so
sometimes they just can't, you got gerrymandering, you got people, all these state laws that's preventing people from one sector from voting. You got all this to keep people in power. So you got states that are looking like authoritarianism governments, right? Based off of how they draw laws and how they draw the boundaries and keeping one party in power to be able to do whatever they want to do and impose whatever they want. So it does come back to the ballot box. But at the same time, though, at some point with some key issues to what Blur was saying, like, we are the United States of America. We're not 50 states of America, right? And so at some point, we got to be united about what we stand for. And then my overall theme and what I feel like the biggest failure of this great country of ours is that we don't value health. We don't value health like other countries. That's why we don't have universal health care. We value money. Right? That's why we got for-profit medical systems, right? As long as we got for-profit medical systems, we're never going to value someone's health, right? That's why we're going to charge you $5,000 for a cancer pill but not find a cure. That's why we're going to make you go bankrupt over going to the hospital or to the emergency room as opposed to just getting you healthy. We're going to keep you sick because we want your money. Even though you can't afford it, we'll make you go bankrupt, right? Because we don't want universal health care. We don't
think
that everybody. That's the reality of it, though.
I disagree.
That's not conspiracy. Universal health care has been in front of Congress for like the last. No, Bernie Sanders put that
that's
shit.
Not what I'm,
universal.
That's not what I'm arguing.
Well, hold on. Then fine. Then let me finish my point, and you can finish. Universal health care, which is what I'm talking about, even with Obamacare that got it watered all the way to hell down, has been in front of the Congress for at least a decade and has never been passed, never been touched. These same states who claim they value life haven't even strengthened their government. They, in fact, that whole universal plan and that they tore that shit apart. So they don't even allow you in some cases to even get that universal health care called Affordable Care Act, right? So, again, that's not conspiracy. That's just what the shit's going on. Like, all the insurance companies are for-profit. We have a for-profit health care system, period. No other country, civilized country, has that but us. Everybody else is moved to universal health care. We don't value health care, but I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
Well, no. So, what you're saying, a lot of that I agree with, but what I'm saying is saying the country values health. They I hate when people say, that's why I say conspiracy theory. When anytime somebody says they rather keep you sick than give you a cure, I totally disagree with. I disagree with the whole they. I don't believe there's a they. If there was a cure for cancer, unless I'm wrong, another country would have found it. You know, Cuba might have found it. That there was an article a little while ago that came out that that was false. You know, when you say they rather keep you sick, I think that's that's the individual choice. Like, I'm overweight. I could be sitting here drinking water, eating broccoli, but no, I got me a glass of whiskey and I'm having fun talking to my boys. They not keeping me sick. That's a personal decision.
Well, when I say they, I mean insurance companies.
Let me finish.
I just want you to say, but you said they. I said insurance companies are for profit, so the they meant the healthcare system. So just go ahead.
They are keeping you, they'd rather keep you sick than give you a cure. They'd rather keep you sick than get you healthy. That's not the insurance company's job, is to keep you sick and get you healthy. The insurance job is to be able to provide you a way to get money so that in case something happens, you're covered. It's up to the person to keep themselves healthy. Now, some things you can't help. Some things you're born with, you know, sickle cell anemia, and there's things that you have no control over. But, you know, obesity is one of the worst things in this country. And that's just, I mean, some of that is government food and what we're eating and all the stuff and what's available in certain cities. And I get that bigger picture. But a lot of that is just personal choices. Like, you know, my son wants to come home. He wants to eat Little Bite muffins. If I didn't make him run around all day and burn 2,000 calories, he'd be overweight too. You know, me and DJ C. Sire struggle with our weight. It's not because the insurance company is feeding us, you know, Chipotle and Reese's Cups. Is because we got enough money that we can buy whatever we want, and the things that are good to us sometimes ain't healthy. So that's the only thing I was disagreeing with. Not that we have a for-profit healthcare system. I know that's true.
Right. So I'm not talking about your personal choice and your diet, though. What I'm talking about is that fact that that same insurance company, especially of an HMO, which is the cheap one that most people who don't have a lot of money that before the PPO, they're going to limit what you can get. They're going to charge you an arm and leg. They're not going to cover everything. They're going to choose, because that's how they make money, right, to keep you in certain situations where you're never going to come out of it. That's just reality of it. You're not paying out of pocket because you're going to go broke doing it, right? One hospital stay is going to cost you about 10 grand. Who the hell got 10 grand just laying around for one hospital stay? No matter what you did, no matter what you ate, you could have just fell and bumped your head because you tripped over something. You still going to pay $10,000 if you got to stay in the hospital. And your insurance is only going to cover about half of that, or not even half of that. So you're still going to be left with a good $5,000 to get if you have a good insurance company. So what I'm saying to you is that when I talk about value in health, which stems to all the talk that we're talking about, right, the privacy, abortion, personal choice, sometimes we don't have that freedom like we think we have because money gets involved. And when there's a profit, a buck to be made, right, when there's a buck to be made, I'll side with that buck over getting you healthy or getting you back to where you want to be. I'll rather make money and pay my CEO six-figure salary, sometimes seven, if I'm United Healthcare, if I'm Blue Cross Blue Shield, right, by keep rising healthcare costs, paying more for whatever prescription drug you need, right? I'll rather pay you or charge you more than that than saying, you know what, man, I care for my fellow person, care for that unborn fetus because they don't have a voice. Let me make sure that they get the proper healthcare where they don't have to go broke to do so. That's what I'm saying. That goes all back to the hypocrisy of it all because these same people who value life so much still are restricting health care at the same time. So they want people to have babies, but they're providing health care affordable health care for them to even carry a baby full term, to get the prenatal vitamins, to get the doctor's visits that they're supposed to go to get the necessary sonograms and the necessary self-care to bring in a healthy baby. You're not going to provide that type of health care because you're stripping that, but at the same time, you got trigger laws talking about heartbeat bill, you got to have this baby. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
When MX is engaged, it's real easy to hear him. It's just when he first comes on and he's relaxed, it's tough to hear him. Blur, you've been quiet for a little while. You want to jump in here with anything?
I think y'all kind of flip flopped and jump topics on me. I enjoyed it. I love hearing y'all go back and forth. I will say this with the overarching notion is that they want to not keep you healthy. They want to make money. It's the same thing people were saying for decades. Chris Rock, the money is in the medicine, not the cure. And that is the case, but I personally believe, and maybe it's me being naive, that there's enough good people or egotistical people in medicine, in healthcare, that they do want to cure things. I think somebody wants to be the guy who cured cancer. Somebody wants to be the guy or woman. Somebody wants to be the person who cured AIDS. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's definitely a bunch of CEOs and people who want to just keep making money. There's a I can't remember the dude who brought the Wu-Tang tape who wanted to just keep increasing the price of medicine because they can, because they know, hey, you got a self-contained number of people who are going to keep eating junk food, who are going to need insulin. Let's raise the price. They can't get it from nowhere else. Let's keep getting money off it. But I also think there's enough people who want to cure these things. And like anything else, it's going to be a give and a take. I mean, at some point, maybe there are people around the world who are getting closer and closer, and somebody's going to break through. And once they break through, the house of cards is going to fall. It's like, oh, shit, we can't make money off of insulin no more. This person over in West India that figured out how to cure diabetes. Oh, damn, we can't make money off of the AIDS drug no more. Person over in South Africa that figured out the cure for AIDS. And they're going to find out another way to make money off of some other medicine. So, yeah, I do think there's definitely, obviously, there's probably the biggest industry in the world is making money off of medicine, and there's some people who would like to keep it that way. But I have to believe, or at least I choose to believe, that there's people out there who's trying to bring it all down by actually solving some of these problems.
So I'm going to end with this. Right? Let me just end with this. So look up Doc. I'm going to put it in our chat. Look up Dr. Habia Nicole Green. She's the founder of Orly Foundation. I literally just got the phone while I met with her last week, right? She has a cure for cancer. She's only tested it in mice, right? Without chemo, without radiation. It's a 10 to 14 day treatment, right? She's tested in mice, cured whatever it is, like masses, right? Cancerous masses in mice. She's trying to get it to human trials, right? So she kind of approached us trying to, you know, get the D9 to raise money so she can get the human trial. Her specific goal is the pharmaceutical company is trying to buy her out. And they're literally trying to buy this technology, right, from her, right? Why, she said. And I was like, why are they trying to buy it? Because they don't want it released. That's what happens. When you get close, the pharmaceutical comes in and buys it out and then sits that joint on the shelf. And that's her fear. So every offer she's gotten, she's turned down and she's trying to self-fund her research. Black lady, Orly Foundation, look it up. Donate. Because that's the breakthrough. And she's the only one that I know of that has not taken the millions and billions of dollars that they come after their research from. Orly Foundation, look it up, and I'll leave it at that.
Hold on. You mean to tell me you know the person got the cure to cancer?
We just was on a Zoom call, her and her foundation. We just was ready to sign an MOU with them and everything. She's trying to raise $10 million to start her clinical trials on humans. She's already done it in mice. Now they're coming after her, trying to buy it, and she's not trying to go with the pharmaceutical company because she already knows what's going to happen. They're going to sit it on the shelf. That's exactly what she said. She's like, yeah, I'm not selling it. I'm not selling it. They're not going to have it. I'm going to do it all myself because I already know that they're not going to release it. They're going to sit it on the shelf because, again, to Blur's point, she knows that there's no money in that. They can't make that. They make their money off of selling the drugs to treat it, not to cure it. And she's trying to find a cure. So that's why she's trying to raise $2 million to get the hematoma. She does. That's what, but she's only in mice, though, right? She showed us the results in mice. But to get the human trials, to get it cleared, right, you got to try it on humans, right? So you got to have to test the humans, but that costs money.
And that's where I'm confused then. Why does she have to have it cleared?
Because that's how the government is.
Hold on, let me finish. I'm trying to let you speak. Just hear my entire thought. You could be absolutely right, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want you to hear my thought and then comment on that so you can explain it to me. So if she has the cure for cancer, and I'm not saying she's wrong, I'm not trying to be a cynic, I'm just trying to think this out in my head. If she has the cure for cancer, why does she need to raise $10 million when there are so many people out here with cancer? I would assume that she would have already started human trials if you just make them sign a waiver. Like, hey, you can take chemo or you can try my method. You know, if you die, I don't want to be liable. You got to sign this Dr. Kevorkian paper. But if you got cancer, you're going to die anyway. You might as well at least try it.
Hey, Gunn, have you ever seen Dallas Buyers Club or Dallas Bears Club? I think it's Dallas Buyers Club.
No. I heard it was a good movie, but I never seen it.
It's a great movie. And dude was doing essentially what you're trying to say here with his AIDS treatment. You know the whole movie was about him being tied up in court, right? And them trying to take him to jail for doing exactly what you just said.
No, I just heard that it was a good movie, but I didn't know what it was about. So I wouldn't know what it was about.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. Him thinking, hey, I got the cure for AIDS. I got treatment over here. I got it for half the price. I'm figuring it out. I got my own cocktail that's going to help us. Cause he's a man with AIDS, and he was setting up his own trials and doing his own thing. Yeah, most of the movie he's in court because he keeps getting arrested.
What's illegal about it? I just don't know. Like, that's why I just wanted M actually to hear more about it because I'm just ignorant. Like, what's illegal? If I got the cure for something and I tested it in mice and it worked, if I tell somebody, hey, I think I found a cure for this, but I haven't tested it on humans, you're going to die anyway. Do you want to at least try it to see if it works out? What's illegal about that if they sign a waiver? Because it's not like it's Dr. Kevorkian, I'm trying to kill you. I'm actually trying to save you. Now, if it does kill you, I don't want to be liable. That's why you signed a waiver. But, like, I don't understand. And then, DJ, let me get DJ C. Siren in, because you've been in trials and you've worked. If I come up with a cure for something, why can't I try it on people who's willing participants?
I'm not sure about the legality of that. You can't. It's just because it's FDA laws.
Man, the government.
It's just laws that say that, number one, you can't call it a cure unless it's until after the trial. So you don't know.
Right.
She doesn't know it's a cure.
Right. So if I have willing participants willing to try to see if it is a trial.
Right. Well, you have to.
Why can't I do that?
Because the potential of killing off people.
But if they sign a waiver. Like, so you're telling me that the only people who can find cures are the government? And pharmaceutical companies?
You have to get it approved through the government. I'm pretty sure. I don't know the process, but you can submit your data from the rat and
right.
talking about doses and that they didn't die and that, you know, these are the results. Then they approve, okay, this looks like it is safe, at least in rats. Now you can start giving it to humans.
The government has to decide that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like the COVID vaccine.
It's because you're saying that I have a drug that is curing something or treating something.
And I can't treat anybody until the government decides.
Until the FDA says yes.
She, look, I know a whole lot of weed dealers and cocaine dealers. She need to give me her number, yo. I get her out in these streets with some cancer patients. She can make her $10 million quick.
But why would you pay somebody money?
What do you mean? People pay money for weed. You don't want to pay money to get cured of cancer?
I pay for weed because I know I'm going to get hot. I'm not.
You're going to get cured of cancer?
You don't know that.
You're going to die anyway. Why not take a chance?
You don't know if you're going to die.
From cancer?
Yes, people survive cancer.
They do?
Yes.
You did not just say that, yo.
Hey, what's going on with you, man?
Yeah, put that in the chat. That's fine. It's interesting. So you mean to tell me that you know the person who's on the discovery to cure cancer, and because of litigation, they won't let her cure cancer?
She has cancer-killing technology. She has cancer-killing technology that she's not trying to sell. So when we met her, she was explaining all the research. She was showing us the whole process of what she was doing in mice and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, yo, we saw like the cells disappearing and shit in 14 days. They were gone. Every mice trial that she did. I just put it
in
the chat.
Does she have a Nigerian husband?
I have no idea, brother. I just know.
No, she's legit. I've actually followed this report. I didn't even realize. I mean, I saw the report maybe a couple of weeks or a month ago.
She's been on a lot of shows. Yeah,
yeah, I saw them talking about this, and her trying to take it to trials because it was pure in mice or rats or whatever, and her trying to take it to human trials.
And she was like, "She's not selling."
That's amazing. Please say it loud and clear so all the listeners can hear it. Because that's amazing.
Listen, I don't want to. I just put it in the chat, man. I don't want to butcher her name again, you know. But I just put it in the chat.
Hey, for the people who aren't in the chat, yo, it's not just us who do the show. We have listeners.
Oh.
I know you don't want to butcher her name, but we got. Hey, if she got
so
the cure,
it's
for
like
cancer,
Hadia. I think it's Hadia Nicole Green, Dr. Hadia Nicole Green, and the foundation is the Orlie Smith. That was because that was her grandparents, because both of them had cancer.
Say the foundation
she
again.
ORA Lee Smith Cancer Research Foundation.
Man.
But she took care of both of her grandparents. They both had cancer. So she started doing all this research. She saw basically what chemo was doing to them. So basically to her grandmother, she saw what chemo. So when her grandfather got cancer, he didn't want to do the chemo. No, the opposite. Grandfather did the chemo, grandmother didn't, because she saw what happened to her husband. So she didn't want to do it. She just was like, I ain't doing this, John. Like, I'm not doing the chemo. And I totally understand about the chemo, because, again, as you know what I mean, my mom breast cancer twice, and she was like, if I get cancer again, I'm not doing chemo no more. She's just not going to do it. She's like, it's just going to be my time, because she did it twice. She ain't doing that shit no more. Like, she already said it, right? So, and I saw how it affected her. So she don't want to do it no more, and I am, it's just going to be what it is. Like, and that's exactly what she's saying. So she has, like, this technology, and so you don't have to use chemo or radiation.
Yo, that's amazing. Now, see, that makes me hate America. Well, not hate America, but that's disappointing. That if this is true, and I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it isn't. I haven't done any research. Like, I hope this is true. I hope this black lady has figured out how to cure cancer. It will be a sad day if you're telling me that the disease that has killed so many people and affected all of our lives. I mean, I'm pretty sure we all know people who've had cancer. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, kids. You mean tell me, like, there's kids out here dying and she got the cure and they're going to let them die because of bureaucracy? Like, at that point, like, I mean, yo, vote for gun. I'm going to give you – you know what? I'm running for president. I know the person who knows the cure to cancer.
Well, Dr. Sebi has said he's been curing cancer. He has to cure cancer, and he's got it on YouTube. He's got books. So, I mean, there's information out there. I don't know how true it is. But
Dr. Sebi smoked backwoods and died of cancer. I don't believe that Dr. Sebi says. Rest in peace. Go ahead, Blair. I just want to get my joke off.
Yo, to be honest, you don't tell me Dr. Sibley died of cancer. I'm going to have to look that up, man. I don't think that's what he died from. But I've always thought he may have had, like, preventative measures, but I do know someone who, I don't say studied with Dr. Sebi, who was down in wherever they was with Dr. Sebi. She was actually down there when Left Eye was down there. She was on a trip that Left Eye died on.
Left Eye.
But, yeah, Dr. Sebi was about that life. He had a whole facility, and I'm saying facility in air quotes, like, yeah, like, even the stuff that he was eating and drinking, like, it could have just been, like, a mental thing, but she felt changes happening in her.
And then she died.
The girl I'm talking about did
die.
Left Eye died in a car crash. I don't think Dr. Sebi got anything to do with that.
Should have had more peace with him. Okay, I'm not making jokes about the death. Rest in peace, Left Eye. Nah, but, you know, Dr. Sebi, you know, it seems like he had good teachings and good ideas and good thoughts and all that stuff, but he ain't had a cure for cancer. This woman said she got studies in rats and mice. Dr. Sebi said he prayed over a couple of people and they can't cure the cancer. The M-Extra's person said she got lab results. I can't wait to look that up. That's probably the most exciting news, because my mom smokes 2 packs a day. So I gotta get.
She basically trying to get the HEMA trials off the ground. Like I said, self funding and some laser nanotechnology, something that basically targets just the cancer itself, not any other thing. Because chemo and radiation, basically, they're not targeted to just the cancer. They're just going, you're going to get it all. And that's why it starts to affect all the other cells, all the cells around it. So this is supposed to pinpoint just the cancer cells without affecting none of the other cells. And her whole mission was basically, like she kept saying on her calls, like, I'm not selling it. I'm like, I don't blame you. I wouldn't sell. I don't know. Because if they come with the billions, man, I don't know. And I think that's to your point. I think a lot of people crack under that, though. I think if you break groundbreaking research and I come and say I'm going to give you $1 billion for that research, I got some people out here taking that money.
Right, but if I can cure, see, and that's what's so confusing. I don't want to stay on this too long because we got to talk about something funny. But that's what's confusing to me because, okay, yeah, pharmaceutical says, hey, I'll give you $1 billion for this because I want to keep everybody sick and I don't want nobody to have a cure. Like, there's 1 billion people who have cancer. Just take a dollar from each one of them. You got 1 billion. But y'all are telling me that the governments won't even let you do it.
You got to go through processes in the government to get to that point. Right?
But
so she's trying to get the human trial.
That takes me back to the whole abortion thing. You mean to tell me I know M. Extra Money. M. Extra Money knows the person who got cancer. I got cancer. I say, M. Extra, hook me up with your Nigerian princess who got a cure for cancer. So I send her my money through an email to cure cancer. She sends me back the cure. I'm cured of cancer, and now she can go to jail? But I did that under my own volition. It's my body. Why can't I do that? That's why I support women.
So you're basically just talking about a drug deal, right? An illegal drug deal?
It doesn't seem like it's illegal if it can cure me. Who's it illegal to? God or you?
The people who make things legal. What are you talking about? Who said it's illegal? The exact
right.
people she's trying to get clearance from so it can be legal.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, y'all think of something funny. I got to use the pee piece.
I don't know what he's missing, though. Like, and I thought she would know the process, because I don't know the process. Like, she didn't go into the process. She just said, you need a trial. I don't know the process of which you start with mice and move to, like, the steps and the people and the boxes you got to cross off to get to human trials. They were just saying, this is how much money we need to get here, and then they need another 10 to get to, like, the soft tissue. So right now they're in the hard tissue. They try to get to the soft tissue, but that takes $20 million. So they had this whole thing mapped out about basically, you know, the path once they get to human trials, but I thought you would know. That's why I couldn't wait to bring this up, because I thought you knew the rest of it, because they wouldn't tell us.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I haven't really said much. No, you didn't. Just can hear it in the bathroom.
Go ahead, DJ. Sorry, run the show, baby. You're a little skeptical, yeah. You're in the drug industry. You don't think somebody got the cure for cancer? You think Dr. Sammy needs...
But that's just it. Which cancer? Bamboo? What cancer? All cancers? It's a lot of different things that come into play in terms of it. You can't... killing, a lung cancer versus a prostate cancer versus a colon cancer. There's small cell, carcinomas. It's just how they react to different things. There's just not a one, cure all. So it's like, I haven't read anything. I don't know. Okay. And maybe there's more specific, but go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you off because we only got 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But let's table this cancer talk for next week. Blair had a great question. Cheesecake. Is it cake or pie? New York.
Hold on. Not to take note for Blair, but that was my question. That was my question. Yeah. Cheesecake, cake or pie?
Okay, New York, that was his question. My bad. I wrote it down as Blur, but I must have got the numbers wrong. Blur, since it was not your question, but I said it was yours. Cheesecake, is it cake or pie?
I'm going to go with pie because it has pie crust. And I feel like if you have a pie crust, then that automatically puts you into the pie category.
Okay, DJ C. Siren?
Cheesecake pie.
The pie. So he votes for pie. M. Extra?
I don't even know, bro.
Come on, yo. Play the game, I guess
the cure
pie, for cancer.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't decide
it's a cheesecake. I don't like cheesecake, but I guess it's a pie. If you're forcing me to answer, I guess I'll say pie just because of the crust.
Okay. I'm going to say it's a cake because it has the word cake in it. So that's only one vote for cake. New York, what's your final thoughts on it?
It's definitely a pie. I don't understand why they call it cheesecake. It's cheese pie. It's cheese pie. That don't sound too appealing. You know what I mean? But it's definitely not a cake. I don't even know how they could classify
it as a cake.
Is
it cake or bread? New York?
I'm going to have to go with bread.
You ain't had that extra money's mama's cornbread then. That joint, soft and buttery. M. Extra.
Yeah,
your mom got the most famous cornbread I know. Is cornbread a cake or a pie?
Cake.
I mean, cake or a bread?
Oh, it's a cake, yeah. Has batter.
See? Yes. M. Extra says it's a cake. Blur. Blur, where you at?
I might have to abstain from this one because I don't know how to make cornbread. I don't know what goes into. I have no idea what goes into that. I was going to say bread, but to be honest, I have no idea what goes into cornbread. I haven't the slightest clue.
Cornbread.
I eat it, but I don't know what goes into it. Like you know what? Somebody could have said on this like your cornbread made out of rice, and I'd have been like, what? I have no clue what's in cornbread.
What goes into cheesecake?
Cream cheese.
No, not you mother. I'm talking to Blur because I know he don't know what goes in the cheesecake either.
I do know what goes in the cheesecake, though. I do know what goes in the cheesecake. I've seen enough cheesecake recipes. I watch a lot of cooking recipes on the social. So, yeah, I do know essentially what goes in the cheesecake. And I know for first thing it starts with the pie crust. So, I mean, I know that much.
You watch a lot of cooking shows but don't know what goes in the cornbread. I'm poking holes.
I don't, man. I mean, the desserts. You know what? Bread. I'm going to say bread because I ain't never seen cornbread come up on the no dessert channels. Not once.
DJ Cesar, is cornbread bread or cake?
Bread.
Oh, so we got a split decision. Okay. And cornbread is like cake.
depending on who makes it. But
I know,
even
but
though,
it's like cheesecake.
Even though you sweeten it, doesn't make it cake.
Okay. All right, so we got through that. So cheesecake, the vote is for pie.
It says modern cheesecake is not easily classified as an actual cake, despite the name.
Modern.
Some people classify it as a tort due to the usage of many eggs, which is the sole source of leavening.
That's French.
Others find compelling evidence that it is a custard pie.
Custard pie.
Based on the overall structure with the separate crust, the soft filling, and the absence of flour, which is the main ingredient of a cake.
Does cornbread have flour?
No. Nope.
Corn.
Does it have flour?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm asking. Why
yeah. I think so, doesn't it? It doesn't have flour.
You don't know.
It has flour.
I don't know. All my cornbread I'm making
from the box.
The little Jiffy, the Jiffy joint. What is that, flour? That's not flour?
I don't know. I got to go downstairs.
I mean, it's probably corn. It's corn. Cornmeal.
Hey, we can't
say
cornmeal. We only got 10 minutes.
Cornmeal. So it's not flour.
Hey, we can't stay too long. We got to get the verses. We only got 10 minutes.
Okay, go now.
I can't believe we're
going now.
Okay, so cornbread won for cake.
No.
Pie.
Bread.
Okay, so another question. Real quick, around the horn. Weather, if I say it's a 30% chance of rain, M extra, do you know what that means?
Yeah, it's a 30% chance of rain.
No. Look, you know what it means?
I mean, this must be a trick question because I always thought that meant it's a 30% chance
nope.
that it's going to rain.
New York, New York.
It means it's not going to rain, so I'm going to wear my suede Jordans out there.
30% chance of rain actually means, and I didn't ask DJ C. Siren because she was with me when I figured out this information, that 30% of the viewing area will get rain. So it doesn't mean you have a 30% chance of rain.
Hold on. Say that first part again.
It means 30% of the area that they're talking to is getting rain. So
that's
not like
exactly what we just said.
No. So 30% chance of rain means there's a 1 in 7 chance. I mean, there's a 3 in 7 chance that it's going to rain that day. No. 30% chance of rain means it's going to rain, but only 30% of the area will feel the rain.
Well, they're only talking to the area. So, all right, you know what? I feel like that's just splitting hairs. I feel like that's the same thing. 30% chance that I'm going to be in the area where the rain falls. The rain's going to fall somewhere.
That's why you're good in English and bad at math. It's two different statistics. Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, there's flour and yellow cornmeal and cornbread. That's how you use it. It's flour and yellow cornmeal. Because I don't know what he's talking about. With this 30% stuff, yeah. This is
But is flour, like, if you want to make bread from scratch, is flour needed for that, or just that's just mad yeast?
And you need flour for
bread. Depends what bread you're making.
Yeah.
Are you making unleavened?
Man, I can't believe you got us with this 30% of the area crap. What's going on here? That's the off-brand topic right there.
Look, I'm telling you, I was amazed when I figured it out myself because, like y'all, I thought, it's a 3 in 10 chance that it's going to rain today. No, it means 30% of the viewing area is 100% going to get rain.
So 3 in 10 chance that it's going to rain on you, right? Because it's going to rain somewhere.
No. No,
somewhere.
Because
right.
you're in the
you might be in that area.
You're 100% chance going to get rain.
It's a
30%
of the area.
That is
crazy. I hear you like, yo, it's a 30% chance that I am going to get rained on when I leave out of here.
No, but that's right. Not what this position says. You got to go back to back.
No,
man.
But they
gotta,
hold on. But they never define which area is in the 30%. So there can never
what
be you're going
to
be they never clearly define what area is that 30% that they're talking about.
They can now. It depends who your weather channel is and where you go with the weather. But, you know, most Doppler radars, you will see where that 30% is. But I didn't want to get bogged down with that, but I just wanted to blow y'all minds real quick because I thought like y'all 2 weeks ago until I read it. Mm. Just let you know. It's just math. Okay. It's just math is amazing. So, Versus, right. Real quick, because we only got 5 minutes left. Did you watch the Versus? Mario versus Mario, Pleasure P, Ray J, Bobby Valentino, and Sammy. New York, did you watch it? What'd you think?
I've seen clips, but clearly a lot of people can't sing now that they Tom is bad. But that's all I got to say.
DJ C. Sire.
What's the question? Did I see it? Yes.
Good answer. Flair. This is why.
Yeah, man, I saw it. I watched it. I was entertained, and I feel like it went how I saw it going. I mean, I probably could have put some money on it. Yeah, it was very entertaining.
M-Extra?
Man, I ain't watched that thing, but I did see clips, y'all. It was horrible to me. I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about going about watching the whole thing, but from the clips I saw, I mean, it seemed like it wasn't even a good show. Like, yeah.
What's considered horrible? Because it was extremely entertaining. Now, I didn't watch the whole thing because Omarion and Mario came out way too late, East Coast time. You know, this wasn't one of those things. But Ray J? Yeah, Ray J might have moved into my top five entertainers of all time. Michael Jackson, Beyonce, Ray J. Because
what?
That man is hilarious. And no matter what he does, it's entertaining. So was it a lot of bad singing? I think Mario did a good job. Omarion did a bad job. Sammy did a good job. Everybody else on that other stage did a bad job, but Ray J was pretty horrible. But he looked like he was having the time of his life. And I can always appreciate someone who may not be sound as great, because Beyonce sings, I mean, she's not like in a great singer. Like Mariah Carey sang well on the BET Awards, but she didn't look like she was having a good time. Ray J is the person I want to have a drink with.
Oh,
not
yeah,
Mariah
for sure.
Carey.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
All right, we'll end on that.
I was just saying, when I talk about horrible, I was just talking about, like, in a sense of, like, I don't want to go back for the music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be going back for the pure entertainment to see what the entertainment was about, but not because I wanted to hear any of the songs that they sung.
Ray J got hits, man. Ray J got hits, man. Next week, we got to talk about the LIV Golf Tournament. We got to talk about Kanye West and the BET Awards. But we got to finish it up, man. We got to get out of here, man. Good show tonight, man. We had some jokes in the beginning and at the end. Got a little serious in the middle. But good talk. I just want to say real quick before I sign off, happy anniversary again to my lovely wife, 10 years. I tried to ask her if we wanted to have, like, a divorce party because, you know, 10 years is a good run. That's considered successful. Why does death mean you're successful in marriage? Like, why can't you say, hey, we had 10 good years together, and we don't want to have 10 miserable years, so let's call it a day. And she won't let me divorce her. So it looks like I'm stuck for a little while. DJ C. Simon, you got anything you say to the people before we roll?
Good night.
You want to tell people how much you love me and how you're so lucky to have me as a husband for 10 years? Yeah, I guess I did say that. But I do love you. Yeah, Max, you got anything to say to the people before we roll?
Hypocrisy. Stop that shit.
In my marriage?
No, just in general.
Oh.
For everybody. For everybody. And we definitely got to talk next week. Next week, we definitely got to talk about how the January 6th hearing, because that bombshell about Trump talking about bring all the guns in, get get rid of the metal detectors because they ain't here to kill me. That's the most craziest thing I've ever heard, even with the Watergate stuff, if you listen to those tapes. From a
All right, put in the chat so I don't forget. But good talking to you, man. Glad you was able to join us early. Not too much running around. Blur, you got anything to say?
Yeah, definitely put that in the chat because I was going to do the same thing because I think after hearing that bombshell testimony, it looks like Trump going to get reelected, man. I don't see how anybody heard that and thought this man wasn't about to get reelected. But, yeah, pay attention, man. Go out there and vote. Speaking about reelections, don't be just a one-issue voter. Don't vote on a dude just because he said he's going to keep you working from home. Nah, look up and down and find the person who most aligns with the things you care about most. And vote on that, man, because we can't be asleep at the wheel much longer. There's a clip that people like going around. It's from a TV show called The Newsroom where the dude sits up there and he talks about why America isn't the greatest country in the world anymore and yada, yada, yada. It really comes down to just people paying attention to what's going on. If people paid attention to what's going on, not just in their own lives or in their own houses, this place being the country would be in a lot better place right now.
Now, I'm one issue, bro. You sent me back to work. I'm not voting for you. New York, New York. Floor is yours.
Dang, you sent me back to work. I'm not voting for you. Fuck that. Fuck that. No, I'm not doing that. Other than that, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Shout out to y'all. Happy 10 years. Y'all, that's a blessing in the making. Other than that, you know what I mean? The weatherman is a lie, clearly, because the statistics don't match up. I took calc in college. Statistics, yeah, oh man, I'm not even doing that. That's too much shit to wrap my head around. But other than that, you know what I mean, have a good life. Live it. Live it to the fullest. You heard? Live it to the fullest.
Amen.
That's
amen.
It.
We'll get together next week, man. We out of here. Every 10 people who are alive, 3 of them are still brave, and 7 of them are. A 30% chance of everything. You see them on 30 miles walk. I'm in the back, take them out of my outfit. He can't blink.